Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Dozens of students who've been unable to find places in mainstream schools since last September are being taught at home. And in some parts of the country, particularly around the Dublin commuter belt, some families have struggled to find school places for their children. That pressure, we know, is most acute at the second level stages. And figures from the Department of Education released to the Irish Times today show 44 students are without school places. They're currently being taught at home under a home tuition scheme that's aimed at providing compensatory education services. And as part of this, families receive a grant to employ a qualified tutor to provide up to 9 hours of home tuition per week. There's also a further 425 children who were unable to access preschool services, and they too are getting the grant for the tuition hours. Fine Gael Senator Emer Curry is with us on the line today. Emer, is this the best solution to basically give parents a grant to homeschool their kids?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me on. I think the best solution is actually for children to have school places. Just to say that when it comes to the 425 preschool children that are accessing the home tuition grant, a lot of them would be using that grant for the likes of PALS, which are autism preschools. So they specifically use those home tuition grants to come together and fund PALS and other autism preschools. I think we could do that more efficiently. But for the 44 students that don't have places in primary and secondary school, obviously the best place for them to be is in secondary school and primary school.
Has this always been the case? Has this tuition grant, is it always there, or is it just because there is extensive pressure on the system at the moment, Emer?
Yeah, it's always been there. But when you ask the Department of Education about it, they do see it as an interim measure. So, for instance, over 90% of the kids last year that had the home tuition grant, they were accessing it for the preschool, for preschool, autism preschools, and about 10% then for other other school places. But certainly these children are at a disadvantage. For instance, the free book scheme. I've been in contact with lots of parents who don't have places this year, and they can't access the free book scheme, for instance, because the department sees it as an interim solution. So definitely this is very much also about the conversation about school capacity in growing areas.
So just to clarify something for the moment, Emer, these are students, the 44 that I mentioned, first of all, these are 44 students who've tried to get place in their local or school or in a school in the surrounding area, particularly at secondary level. They haven't been able to get that spot in the mainstream school. And now the department's response is, we'll actually give your folks a grant and they can hire a tutor and the tutor can teach at home. Have I that right?
Yes, you have that right for those 44 primary and secondary children.
And did those parents want to do this? Like, were they happy to accept that? Or
in the majority of cases, no. They might be waiting, for instance, and just to say, in my own area of Dublin West, the home tuition grant is being used for, that I'm aware of, for children that haven't been able to get a place, say, in a special class or a special school. But it's not an ideal situation at all, because it can be very hard also to get the home tutors. It's very difficult to be able to source them and access them for those 9 hours.
But just to be clear, these aren't parents who've decided, do you know what, I'm not sending my child to mainstream school, I want to homeschool them, and I'm now going to get a grant off the department to do that. That's not what this is.
No, it's not. And it can happen for lots of reasons. I think what you're saying this year is, certainly in my area of Dublin West, there would be delays with special classes being built or classes in special schools. But there might be other reasons. Say, for example, a school place is just too far for a family, or they've relocated into an area and they haven't been able to get a school place or you have children that might have left school for lots of different reasons.
Well,
it isn't actually about homeschooling.
No, so there's 20 children at the moment, according to the department's figures in the Irish Times, 20 kids with additional needs that are waiting on special classes or special school placements that are in receipt of the grant. There's 425 at preschool services, and as I mentioned, 44 that mainly seem to be at second level. Are these children likely to remain at home for the rest of the year, just getting this grant?
I can only talk about my area, but no, they're not. They should not be there for the remainder of the year. The ones that I'm familiar with, are nearly all of them have secured school places, but they're in the process of building those classes at the moment.
Take a listen to Denise. Denise has sent us in a voice note actually about this today.
We had moved to a new build in an area in Conseely, and we just assumed that there'd be a place kind of fed on from the primary school, put our daughter into the local primary school, which is near us, then only to find out, which is kind of getting near to fifth class and sixth class, that there was no feeder school. So we were told just the fight is on, so get the names down, as many schools as you can, and hope for the best. I thought it was a crazy way to be talking about a 12-year-old's education. So we went on the list. We were number 300, I think, in one, 196 in another, and then we were delighted to be 124 on the waiting list in another, but didn't get any of those places. So we eventually applied for an Educate Together school that was near us, that hadn't been finished being built. But anyway, we went on that, and it was a lottery system. So we were lucky to be selected in the lottery, even though some people didn't get selected who were in the same class. So I just think the whole thing is ridiculous that, you know, you buy these new builds somewhere and the facilities are not there, and that you're fighting and driving around and stressed out a bit looking for a place for your child's education. And I know that other people are homeschooling and all this, and I just think the whole thing is crazy, really.
She has a point, hasn't she, Eimear?
She absolutely has a point. And Andrea, look, a lot of the issue here is that the catchment areas for schools aren't aligned, and they might have different policies. I know in my area, they might prioritise feeder schools for one school, in terms of the prioritisation of admissions. And then in another school, they might prioritise the catchment area. So it's very disjointed, and there isn't alignment. And then the other thing that is happening is parents are putting in application forms to multiple schools.
But should they have been
told
to?
So what's happening is...
Exactly,
and the point I make in the Irish Times today is that's solving a problem but creating another problem by creating another problem. So what's happening is they're applying to multiple schools, and so they have bulging waiting lists and duplications across schools.
Which is creating much more administrative issues.
Exactly. For the school itself. Some schools are telling me they have people working on this full time, and it takes months and months and months for the waiting lists to drop, for people to figure out that maybe a child has a place in another school and they don't need a place in the second school. It's a very inefficient system. And that's why I've been pushing the idea of common applications processes.
Yeah, like a CAO, basically. To get to school.
Exactly. And look, this is tried and tested in other areas.
Yeah.
There's one in Malahide, there's one in Limerick. And it isn't perfect, but let me tell you what it does. It gives the family the opportunity to say what their preference in relation to a school is. And so they might, by naming that school, they might end up in their preferred school instead of a school on the other side.
Let me bring in Liz for a moment, Eimear. Liz is with us in Offaly. Liz, I believe, now you by choice homeschooled your children, is that right?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Good afternoon, Eimear. Yes, Andrea, I do homeschool by choice.
And how did that work out?
Phenomenal. Absolutely amazing. I am a teacher. I actually taught for many years, and this was a secret fit for my child. And it was only through COVID, through having that opportunity to be able to align myself with the Home Education Network here in Ireland. It was a friendly, inclusive, all-respective organisation of families that had one ethos in common. the protection and the care of our child, and to have that opportunity to teach our children and nominate Article 42 as our institutional right to be that educator and to provide that education that we saw fit. It's been phenomenal for me, Andrea.
Now, in your instance, Liz, though, that was a decision that you made, whereas a lot of the parents of the children that we're talking about today have actually found themselves in this position by no choice of their own.
Absolutely, Andrea. And that is very key, because this is a home tuition compensatory education service. Home Education Network is nothing to do with an interim solution. It's a lifestyle. It's a life choice. It's a celebration of informed decision making by parents who want to teach their children from home in the way that they see fit. It's that celebration and that unity.
Brian is with me on the line today. Brian, you're based in Dublin 15. Is this an issue in your locality?
Hi, Andrea. Hi, how are you? Timur, how's it going? It is. I suppose we're kind of just going through the process. We've a couple of boys who are in sixth class. So like that, we've gone through the application process in the last few weeks for a number of schools around the area. But I know anecdotally last year there was an issue where school places were kind of limited and kids didn't get, their preferred school in a catchment area. Which obviously is difficult and challenging for kids with friends and with a lot of their other friends going to their preferred school. In our case, our preferred school happens to be right across the road, so it's kind of logistical reasons as well as friends that we'd like the lads to get in there. But to Emer's point on the common application process, I mean, so we were actively encouraged this year to apply to multiple schools. And I know our local school, who enroll about 200 plus or 240 kids this year. Last year, they had over 500 or 600 applications,
and we're actively adding to that. Yeah, you know? I imagine a lot of those are exactly what Emer talked about. They're the duplication names.
Yeah, like it just seems like a bit of a logistical nightmare, I guess. And obviously, we're actively encouraged to not just apply for one school, because you know, you'll get a place in your catchment area. But so we're adding to the problem, I suppose, in terms of, you know, long lists coming out of waiting lists for schools until it kind of gets whittled down. And as I said, we're at the start of the process. I don't know how the next month is going to go when school places come out. But I know anecdotally from people who went through the process last year, I mean, you're talking months and months of kind of stress and anxiety, very worrying. You're trying to, I suppose, shield your child from the process and kind of give them a bit of reassurance without giving them, you know, false hope. So, like, you know, it's a very stressful time, I know, for parents who went through the process last year and were ultimately kind of unsuccessful, I suppose, you know.
Yeah. Like, the pressure, I imagine, you know, in the lead up to the academic school term, like the fact that you're already, you know, people are applying for the places for next year. Maybe there's nothing new to that, Brian, but I mean, it just seems like something that could be handled so much better.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's new to us. These are our first going through the process. The only thing I would say is like that the schools in the catchment area have kind of dovetailed. So all the kind of application and enrollment windows are pretty much the same time. So that is at least something. But it seems to be very, very far out in advance. Maybe, as you said, there's good reason for that. Like, you know, I take it as well. Listen, there's another piece here, I think, as well, in terms of the actual number, whatever about the system or the process, but the actual number of school places, obviously, are they being kept in line with, you know, the building of houses and apartments that's going on? Obviously, we're behind where we need to be in that regard, but there's probably a wider piece as well in terms of our school places being kept up to date. Obviously,
sure,
like every part of the country.
Is this what the census was supposed to be about?
yeah. Well, we're probably not like any other area in Emer's area. There's a huge amount of building work going on here, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the demographic are kind of young families who ultimately will be looking for school places. The school, I'm sure, have been on about this as well in terms of the kind of budgetary kind of restraints that they have as well.
I know, and all that goes with that. Brian, listen, thank you for getting in touch. Liz as well, Fine Gael Senator there too, Emer Curry. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com if you find yourself in that very position.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. on News Talk.